Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations, may the thoughts of all of our hearts and all of our minds be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so I want to focus on our reading from Micah. And if you want to look at that in the bulletin to kind of flow with me here, what you have going on in this reading is an argument. It's an argument between God and his people. And it starts with God speaking to his people. And he says, you want to complain? Go ahead. Give me your complaint. Argue your case for me. And not just to me. Let all creation hear it. Argue your case before the mountains and the hills. Let's hear that complaint. And then God turns to the mountains and hills. And what he's saying here is, my people have no valid complaint against me. You know who has a valid complaint here? I do. Against my people. An indictment, he calls it. And then he turns back to the people. He says, Tell me your complaint. What have I done to you? How have I hurt you? Tell me. I know what I've done to you. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. I gave you leaders to guide you and protect you in the wilderness. And remember when the king of Moab wanted his priests to curse you? I made it so his priests could only bless you. What have I done to you? I have saved you. And next we have the response of God's people. And it's helpful here to read this with some sarcasm. All right, God, I get it. You're great. You're awesome. So what do you want from me? How can I show you that I am thankful? Would you like a sacrifice? Yeah. Maybe I burn up my best calves, my best livestock for you? Yeah. Or how about rams? How about thousands and thousands of rams? Yeah. Or how about we take all of our olive oil and we send it down into the temple, flowing like a river, just for you. Now that would never be enough, would it? How about I just give you my son? And then we have God's response. And we should sense some frustration here. What do I want from you? How can you thank me? I've told you what I want. I want you to be my people. That's what I want. I made you my people, so now live like it. Do what's just and right. Keep my commandments. Show love and mercy to others, and be humble, recognizing me as the one who's given you everything that you have. What's God want from his people? He wants us to live as his people. He is saying, you are a people who have been saved. Saved from death. So live like it. Keep my commandments. Stop living in the sin that brings you death. I've already saved you from death. Live like it. You are people who have been forgiven, so live like it. Forgive others and share the same love and mercy that I've given to you. Share that love and mercy with other people. And then he says, you are a people who have been blessed, so live like it. Be humble. Recognize me as the giver of everything you have and share what you have with others, trusting that I'll give you again and again and again. God is saying, you are my people. You are people who have been saved, a people who have been forgiven, a people who have been blessed. So live like it. And then we join in the argument, right? Really, God? Live like it? You tell me to do what's good and right, what's just and right, to keep your commandments. Well, God, what you say is good, what you say is right, does not always seem good and right to me. You say, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, to make worship a priority in my life. Well, God, I'm here to tell you, my life is busy, and not just busy, it gets hectic. God, you tell me to honor my father and mother, to respect all those who have authority over me. Well, God, there are people in my life right now who have been given authority over me, and I don't think they deserve it. Why should I listen to them? God, you tell me whom I should love and how I should love them. But don't I have the right to determine for myself whom I love and how I love them? God, you tell me to be humble, to recognize you as the giver of everything that I have. Well, God, Last time I checked, I've had to work hard for what I have, so pardon me if I want to enjoy some of the fruits of my labors and do a little boasting. I think I've earned that right. God, you tell me to forgive others, to show love and mercy to others. Well, God, where's the love and mercy when other people hurt me or speak ill against me or plot against me? Where was the love and mercy when terrorists flew those airplanes into the Twin Towers? Where's the love and mercy when people I don't know, from I don't know where, have a job in my country and I don't? Why should I show them love and mercy when they don't show it to me? God, you want me to be humble, to trust you as the giver of every good gift. But God, I've worked hard for that. God, you say I have no reason to complain. But what you say and what I experience don't always match up. That's my complaint. And then God turns to you and he says, I get it. So what do you want from me? What should I give you? Would you like a new car? Or how about money? How about millions and millions of dollars? Or how about I take all the wealth of the world and send it flowing like a river through your hands? That would never be enough, would it? I know what I'll give you. I'll give you my son. And God's not being sarcastic there, was he? Because then Jesus, God's own son, came to this world and went to the cross for you. He came to save you, taking your sins, taking all your failures and keeping the commandments and putting them to death with him on the cross. He came to shower you with his love and his mercy as he shed his blood on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And he came to give you his blessings, washing you in his blood, claiming you as his child, and then rising from the dead to give you life. What has God done for you? He has suffered for you. He has died for you. And he now lives for you. And he has made you his people, a people who have been saved from sin and death, a people who have been forgiven, a people who have his blessing of eternal life. And God now says, live like it. So we had our reading from the Gospel of Matthew today. We had the Beatitudes. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's you guys. Because through faith, you come to recognize that you are spiritually weak, that you need a Savior to forgive your sins and give you life. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. That's you guys, because through faith you recognize your sin. You mourn over your sins. You come to God asking forgiveness, and he gives it to you. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. That's you guys. Through faith you view yourself humbly, recognizing God is the giver of everything that you have, trusting him to give, and so you share what you have with others. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's you guys. Because through faith, you seek to live according to God's will and keep God's commandments. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. That's you guys. Through faith, seeking to show love and mercy to other people, just as God has shown that to you. And not just to certain people, but to all people, no matter who they are, where they're from, and what they've done. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. In God's eyes, that's you, right? Because you've been washed in the blood of Jesus through the waters of baptism. And now God looks at you and sees you as pure and spotless, his precious child. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, that's you, through faith, recognizing the forgiveness you've received and now forgiving others, casting aside all anger, all hatred. You are the people of God, a people who have been saved, a people who have been forgiven, a people who have been blessed. You're the people of God. And now you are called to live like it. Amen. We rise. Confess our faith using the words of the apostles.